Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to another show with Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. We would like to thank all of our listeners for just listening on tonight, and we are asking that if you would like to join in on the conversation, so please give us a call at 657-383-1571. Again, that is 657-383-1571. We would love to hear what you have to say. So come on in and join on in the conversation with us tonight. And before we go any further, I would like to have my husband to say hello to everyone. Babe, are you there?
Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing? You might hear a little sizzling in the background. I'm out here on the grill trying to get dinner situated.
Cooking some chicken and pork chops. We're eating late, but that's all right. It's a Friday. So we are going to go ahead into our topic on tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about trust. Trust is an important component of any relationship. It does not matter whether the relationship is personal or professional. Trust is a factor that must be present in order for the relationship to thrive and be successful. In many families, we see that a betrayal or a lack of trust has caused breakdowns and, in many cases, breakups. Parental and child relationships have been broken. Marriages have ended up in divorce. And siblings are no longer speaking, all because a betrayal of trust has occurred. Why is trust such an important factor in relationships? Do we as people sometimes have higher expectations than we should when it comes to trusting others? Once the trust has been broken, can it be restored? So these are just some of the questions that we are going to address tonight. We have a whole lot more I know that we're going to talk about tonight. So again, just give us a call at 657-383-1571 as we discuss the issue of trust. So we're going to go ahead and open up the lines. Hello, Shannon. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Thank you for calling in as always. And tonight we're going to be talking about trust, you know, and when the trust has been broken in our relationships. So I'm going to go ahead and just start off a little bit, and then, you know, you guys jump on in whenever you're ready. First of all, you all know me. I like to define things, give definitions of things. So what is trust? Belief that someone or something is reliable, good, honest, effective, etc. Trust is an assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something, one in which confidence is placed. So I think here we have to, you know, realize that trust is a big factor. It is impossible to have, you know, any type of relationship without some sort of trust. I don't care if it's a relationship with your insurance company. You know, we need to ensure that we trust that they are going to do what they say they're supposed to do. They're not, you know, mismanaging our money. If something happens, they're going to pay up. So we, you know, it's important for us to have trust in any relationship. So what do we do when the trust has been broken? So of course we know we're talking about families. I'm sure we're going to probably also go into friendships, things like that. But what do we do when the trust has been broken? What happens when someone when someone feels as though their trust has been betrayed. Anybody want to say anything on that?
Sure. I would love to. Well, oftentimes when someone has felt or has been betrayed, you know, whether it's a friend keeping a secret that was told in confidence or confidentiality, or whether it's a boyfriend girlfriend relationship, right?
Mariah.
Whether it's a boyfriend or girlfriend dating, you know, what happens is that they tend to just go to the point of thinking, you know what, when it comes to boyfriend and girlfriend, you know, most women will say that all men are dogs, or most men will say that they can't trust no woman, you know, and then the trust factor is and then people are misjudged just because of the lack of trust, right? And then when it comes to a marriage, you know, there was once that, you know, to death do us part, and then you know, the vows have been violated, and then, you know, then breakups happen. And then with breakups, kids, hearts broken, you know, things of that nature. So that's pretty much what I got to add.
So that again, you know, stresses the point of how important trust is. And I do think that it's important that we understand that when we say trust, that encompasses a whole lot of different things, you know, in relationships. You know, even speaking on the level of marriage, it's not just, you know, the first thing I think a lot of us think about is, you know, adultery, where if my spouse cheats on me. But we can have so many other areas where there can be a betrayal of trust. If you promised me that, you know, you were going to, you know, take care of me and you don't. If you promised me, you know, that you were going to be there through sickness and in health, and then I get sick and you're not there, you know, all of that is a betrayal of trust. And, of course, it does lead to, you know, it can lead to broken families. But what can we do, you know, to help repair these relationships when it comes to parents and children? You know, what can we do? What can we do to help people that have experienced a violation of trust, like you said, between boyfriend and girlfriend, and then they break up and then they want to get married, but they still have issues with trust? So, you know, they still have some issues with trust. So what do we do in that case? Do you have anything to say, baby?
Well, what they do is they can't be afraid to love, and they can't just base that one person that violated their trust, and they accuse or misjudge everybody, you know, or one gender, because it's just not fair. I mean, you know, there are good women out there, and there are good men out there, you know, that just need somebody to trust them, you know, and they could have even had a point where their trust was violated, but yet they gave somebody an opportunity or they gave somebody an opportunity to have their heart again, because that's really not an easy thing, especially when you're out there in the dating world, you know, because when you're dating and you're not pursuing marriage yet, I mean, it's like you're starting over from scratch, and you're continuously giving your heart to somebody, but at the same time, like, you know, it's a risk that we all have taken, and we're all going to continue to take as long as we're living on this world, until at least we get married. Because me, I ain't getting married no more. I got my wife, and you know what I'm saying, I'm happily married. And, hey, when I said to death do a part, I meant that.
All right, now. And you're right.
That is beautiful. That is so beautiful. I'll comment. This is Shannon. I think a lot of times it's hard to, you know, trust again, especially once you've been heartbroken. But like Kenya was just saying, we have to. Like, you know, you just have to do it, or you will not. You're just going to be in the world by yourself. But I think a lot of times we trust too quickly, and mm-hmm. that will result in, you know, being disappointed. And so many times we have to allow the relationship to be, you know, groomed and nurtured and learn that person, you know, learn who you're dealing with and don't give too much information out immediately. Because a lot of times when we release a lot of our personal, you know, not necessarily secrets, but just personal things, as vulnerable as we become, that's how we become more open. And then that's how you establish a higher trust level. But a lot of times if it's done too soon, you know, you have to, that's a gradual process. So if it's done too soon, then that's how you end up possibly, you know, getting hurt again.
That's deep. That is so true.
That's true.
That's so true.
So do you guys think that trust is, there are different levels of trust?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say there's different levels of trust. I think it's a matter of it's truly a matter of judgment. So if you miscalculate that thing, then you know chances are like Shannon said, you're gonna be hurt. So you have to be real, real careful about who you give your heart to and how much information you give out. Because if you give it out too fast, some people are predators and they prey on, you know, the weak, so to speak, emotionally. So then now, like you said, you're vulnerable again and you've opened yourself up to this person. And then there's just some things, you know, people ain't ready to hear about. You know, if they ain't planning on being in a relationship with you at a long haul, it's just something you shouldn't share anyway. Because, you know, most of the time, those things that are told in secret to somebody you just courting with or you dating, eventually they get mad at you now liking because you ain't want to give it up. I'm just going to keep it real. And you don't want to give it up. Then the first thing they do, they just want to say, oh, well, blah, 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 this and that. Woo, woo. They want to tell all your information. So you really do have to be careful.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. So, Shannon, do you think there are different levels of trust?
I do. I think, you know, you can trust a person, especially in regards to relationships. I think there are gradual levels of trusting. You know, you'll trust this person to go out, you know, on a date or, you know, just to kind of spend some time with them. And then as time goes on, then the trust level increases. But if he don't make it to, like, just say 6 months or a year or whatever the case, then even though you probably have trusted that person, I'm sure you don't trust him the same way you would if you was with him for, like, 5 years or whatever the case. So mm-hmm. I think it's different levels of trust. Yeah.
That's real. That's real. I'm going to have to totally agree with you on that. I could see exactly where there should be, you know, a requirement for different levels of trust. So, yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I completely agree with that too, because when you are in a relationship or you start dating, I do think that when you move to the next level, marriage or you know, engagement or whatever, that there is there's a deeper trust. And even, you know, my husband and I, we've been married for going on 15 years. I believe that even over the years of our marriage, that there is that the trust has changed. Would you agree with that, Kenny?
Oh yeah, I believe it's changed. I think it's G14 classified information now. You know, let me stop being silly, but yeah, I think it has changed for real. So you know, in saying that. To my sugar sugar babe, you know, there have been times in a relationship where I have violated your trust, and you know, and it took some time to get it back. But I think at some point or another, you know, trust can be violated unintentionally too. I mean, you know, there could be things that, you know, you may not be thinking about, and then before you know, you're like, well, you know, I trusted you to keep this, and I trusted you to remember this, and you didn't. So I mean. I think we violate trust on a regular basis, you know, especially like when, you know, men forget stuff and, you know, it's based on grace on whether or not the woman wants to forgive or not.
So you think it's pretty much, you know, impossible to be in a relationship and for there not be some type of violation of trust, even if it's small, you know, not real big, you
right.
know. Okay.
Right. I truly think it's impossible. I mean, but that's just me. That's my opinion.
Okay. Now, I can see that. I think we both have probably, you know, violated each other's trust at some point. So what do we do when it gets to the point that, okay, we talked about learning to love again, if you were in a relationship and it went bad and you have to learn how to trust again in order, you know, to try for a new relationship. But what about when you're trying to restore a relationship? Because, again, you know, it may not be something that, you know, we know marriages can divorce, even though that's not our goal, that it's not what we want, that should never be the first thing we do unless your life is in danger. You know, we don't want anybody staying in an abusive relationship. But in, you know, cases where not just marriage, but we have issues with parents where, you know, children have violated the parents' trust, the parents have violated the children's trust, and they're not even talking anymore. They haven't talked for years. Siblings haven't
mm-hmm.
talked. And, you know, so it goes pretty deep.
I think in that type of situation, somebody has to be the bigger person, because if not, then you're going to have, you know, silence and unforgiveness for a substantial amount of time. So, and that's time wasted because, you know, tomorrow is not promised. So I think that, you know, in situations, many situations, it takes one of the parties to be the bigger person so that, you know, you can squash it. But that does happen. It does happen. I think it's unfortunate, you know. And then sometimes I always tell people, I think you should write that person a letter. You know, if there has been some form of violation of trust and you, you know, have difficulty, you know, actually having a conversation with the person, or if a significant amount of time has passed, you know, then maybe you can, you know, get them a card, write them a letter, something, just so that, you know, you can have some form of communication. I know, for example, one of my friendships, we kind of didn't see eye to eye on the situation. And so there were some words exchanged, and time had passed, maybe like a year or so. And I'm usually the peacemaker. I usually don't, you know, let situations go on that long. But I just felt like the season was over with this particular, you know, relationship or friendship or whatever. But regardless of that, I still made a decision to reach out to this person and by sending an email. And in the email, I explained, you know, my distance. First, I apologized. I apologized for me allowing the amount of time that had passed to pass, because I'm always one to say, okay, be the bigger person. And then I wasn't necessarily doing that. I was like, well, whatever. But I finally made a decision to go ahead and, you know, send this email asking first for forgiveness. And then I just explained why I made a decision to have the distance. And I asked for forgiveness. And, you know, I apologized again. And I said, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll chat soon or whatever the case. Now, the response that I received was just finger pointing. Well, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. Never once did that person say, yes, I forgive you, or I apologize myself, because I could have also been a bigger person. No, you did this, you handled this wrong, and you did this and that, and that was it. And I didn't go back. I didn't say anything else with it, because the way I was looking at it was I released whatever I needed to release, and I allowed that person to release whatever they needed to release. And left it at that. But hopefully, you know, in certain, like, family relationships, you know, somebody can take that advice and possibly, you know, reconcile the differences.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that is, you know, you brought up a good point, because pretty much in that relationship, you know, even though you reached out, but there was still an acceptance there that it just wasn't going to be anymore.
Y'all ain't got nothing that's going to for everybody to watch, man.
Lord have mercy, he ain't got the phone on me.
Exactly.
So, so you know, you accepted that the relationship.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. You just forgot to put the phone on me. You accepted that the relationship was, you know, no longer. And unfortunately,
yeah,
sometimes that does happen even in families. You know, when the trust has been violated, because sometimes, I guess, sometimes even if you still have a relationship, the relationship changes.
Yes.
And then in some cases, you just don't have it anymore. I know one thing that I can say is just about family, like, I feel like, no, I'm not going to even say I feel like, because it's just the truth, and I'm just going to tell it like it is. Like, my mom has been done wrong by, you know, some of my cousins. She just has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has. And, you know, you think back to when we all were growing up, you know, we used to spend time together and all of this. And growing up, you would never think that when you get become adults that she would be disrespected and lied on as she has been. Regardless of her faults, you know, she's still an elder in the family. And so to me, that's a violation of trust when you get on Facebook and you talk against her and things like that, and that's something that we never, you know, expected. So my thing is, I forgive you. You know, I love you. We still are, you know, of course, blood related. However, as to, you know, to say that we have that, you know, even though we haven't really, a lot of us haven't talked like that in years anyway, but to say that that relationship will ever be like it was, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure of that, because to me, that there's a lot of things, you know, that goes along with that. There's a, you know, violation of trust, that's disrespect, you know, and it's just a lot of things that goes along with that. So I think sometimes we do just have to accept that when those things have been, when something has happened and the trust has been violated, that we have to accept that there is going to be a change, you know, it's just a change. Do you guys have anything to say?
I agree with that. I do. But sometimes the dynamics of the relationship, any relationship, they do change. And we hope for the change to be, you know, for the better. But in many times, it's just best to just leave it as it is. I just know, like, in my example, I felt that I needed to say something. Like, you know, because I'm not usually the one to just be like, well, forget it. Especially you talking about a friendship over a significant amount of time, like a high school friendship up through to adult. So, and even with a family member, where there was some distance with one of my family members, you know, but you have to understand sometimes, too, the maturity level is completely different when you're dealing with some folk. It don't even really matter how old they are, because I always say people get older, they don't grow up. So, you know, it just depends on who you're dealing with. But even with a family member, you know, I knew that there had been some distance and all of that. But I kept saying, okay, well, we need to squash this thing because, you know, we better than this. And she wanted to keep having the attitude for like 2 years. 2 years had passed, and it was just crazy to me. But regardless, she was like, okay, well, you're just not going to leave it alone, because it just didn't make sense. But in that situation, I will continue to be close to this cousin. But in the other situation, I kind of already knew that we were, you know, going two different journeys, basically. You your way, I'm mine, and I'm growing differently, you growing your way. And the way she is, it wasn't meshing with what I'm doing. And I really realized that years ago. I just really wasn't trying to just accept it. I was like, okay, let me just still deal, because we friends, we've been friends for this long. but we two different people. So I finally was like, okay, I'm cool with it. But even though I still felt like I hurt her feelings, I know I did. So that's why I said, okay, I apologize, I'm sorry, but she didn't really want to receive it. So, and then when, and like with your example that you gave with them, you know, disrespecting your mom and stuff, that kind of stuff is just unacceptable to me. And so it's like we just have to just be like, you know what, I'm done with that.
Mhm.
Mhm. Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. Can I say something, honey?
Yes, you can.
Now, in the beginning, I know y'all heard me get on Jeremiah, but he violated my trust, right? Because I told him to do something he knew. But what I was going to say is, Shannon, the example you gave about, you know, the person that was finger pointing, a lot of times when that happens, it's because of insecurities. You know, people don't want to accept responsibility for their actions. You know, and then what happens is they point the finger because they don't want to be the one that's considered the wrong one, so that it makes them pretty much feel better about themselves. But at the same time, when you're pointing fingers like that, I mean, there's still a trust factor going on there because, you know, you're saying, well, no, I didn't do that. No, I didn't do that. You did that. You lying on me. No, you did that. This is what you did. This is what you did. And I'm not going to change my story. So, I mean, yeah, insecurities definitely can cause that finger point to take place that you are mentioning.
That's true. That's true. Shannon has to step away from the call. We do have a caller on the line, though, so another caller. So I'm going to open up the line to see if the caller has anything to say. Caller ending in 2174. Are you there?
Hi, this is Minister Phyllis. I just tuned in, so I'm just listening for right now.
Okay. Hi, Minister Phyllis. How you doing?
How you all doing? I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking.
We're doing good.
We're doing good.
Thank you for calling. I'll leave your line open if you have anything to say. If you want to mute your phone, you know, that's fine. If you have anything to say, you know, feel free. Sorry. To chime on in, we're just talking about trust and, you know, how important trust is in our relationships and what happens when the trust has been violated. So that's what we are talking about right now.
Okay.
And so, you know, whenever you want to chime in, just go right on ahead and do so.
That trust is a very important key and communication to when you are in a relationship, because if there is no communication, then everything else seems to fall down. And that's one of our biggest problems we have in relationship, and not just in relationship, but we have in our family as well, because we don't know how to communicate with each other. And I heard you, I believe, Pastor Quandula, was saying something that, you know, when we are wrong, we don't want to take the blame for our own mistake. We want to blame somebody else. But, you know, God gives us choices. Either we're going to make the right choices or either the wrong choice. But, you know, we have to choose which, you know, choice we're going to do. And, you know, are we going to abide by the word of God, you know, because he tells us to trust in him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And you know, you're so right. We must communicate, and that's something Shannon had brought up as well. And you know, and even when Kenny was talking about, you know, sometimes when you do communicate, people don't listen and they cast the blame because they're insecure. But we have to communicate, especially, you know, when there is, even before there is a violation of trust. You know, that's something that we do to maybe try to avoid the violation is communicate. What are my expectations of you? Because I may consider one thing as a violation of trust that, you know, somebody else may not consider as a violation of trust. And so what are my expectations? And I think that's very important, you know, to have those discussions when we're in relationships. You know, of course, when a, you know, a parent is raising a child, you know, the children are not just going to come up talking about their expectations, you know. But when we're talking about marriages and, you know, people in relationships before marriages, friendships, you know, those things, I think it's important for us to discuss what we expect of each other, because I think that helps maybe to, you know, keep some of the violations down in some cases. Do you all have anything to say about, to comment on that?
You know, Pastor Quangelin, and, you know, a lot of times when we don't seem to have that trust issue and we don't allow ourselves to communicate with our husband or wife, you know, it allows the enemy to come in and step in, and that's when, you know, you start shutting down and you begin to turn to other things and other sources, you know, because we think that that's where our trust is at. But the best example to do is sit down and talk about it and see, you know, what causes the breakdown in the communication. You know, not point fingers at one or at the other, you know, just sit down and talk about it and say, how can we work on this? How can we, you know, bring it up to pardon or do it God's way? Because you don't want to allow the enemy to step in and take control.
That's right. That's right. He's always looking for a way to do that. Always. You have anything to say, honey?
Absolutely. With communication, right, and an open line of communication, if there isn't trust and trust is absent, then that line of communication, there's no continuity, meaning there's no continuous flow of information, whether it be feedback or receiving. So a lot of times, you know, the husband will shut down. Let me back up a minute. Normally when people have an argument or when people have a disagreement, the main thing that they're both trying to do is be heard. So if one person is not hearing the other person, then the other person is going to eventually shut down. Or if one person is not allowing the other person to speak truthfully, then that other person that's speaking will shut down. And therefore, you know, trust is violated because, you know, you're saying things that really are not true and you're not allowing me to defend myself. So now my trust with you is violated because you're saying things that are not true, but yet at the same time you won't give me the opportunity to speak on it.
That's right.
So, yeah, it does go hand in hand. And like you were saying, you know, Minister Phyllis, we are, you know, told in the Word of God to trust God. And so I had wrote down some scriptures because that's something else I wanted to discuss. You know, do we put too much trust in people? You know, do we trust people too much? And that trust that we put in people, we should be putting in God. And sometimes, you know, and when I say that, I don't mean we shouldn't trust people. I'm saying do we have higher expectations than we should? Do we expect people, you know, to maintain a level that maybe we shouldn't expect? And I'm just asking. I'm not saying that I think we do or don't. I'm just asking, you know, people's opinions on that. So do you all think that sometimes we do that?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we sure do, Pastor Quangela, because, you know, when you first meet a person and, you know, they'll tell you all kind of things such as, you know, I won't do anything to hurt you. And, you know, that's the biggest lie it is, you know, because next thing you know, they done did just the opposite, you know. And that's where, you know, you have to come together and sit down and to see why did this happen, you know, because we rather believe man and everything that they say to us than to believe God. And then when things happen, the first thing we'll say, you know, well, God, why you let us down, you know, and when we pretty much put ourselves in that predicament.
Right.
Wow, babe, we were just talking about that about a week ago, I want to say.
Right.
because we ain't putting our trust completely in God, and we putting our trust in man, and then when it falls
That's
through the cracks,
right.
we want to blame God for it not working out.
Right. That's right. And I think sometimes we don't take people for face value. Sometimes people show us who they are, and
right.
we don't want to see who they are. And so we're still putting expectations on them, but they're showing us who we really are. And so then we feel like our trust is being violated. But is that really
right.
a violation of our trust? You know, so.
Look at you, babe.
It's a lot to that. We know Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thy own understanding. Now, the thing that really sticks out to me here, reading this, is that trusting in the Lord was connected with the heart. You know, it shows you how deep trust is. Because when we are talking about matters of the heart, that's some serious, serious, you know. You know, that's even, you know, in our, just in our relationships and everything, you know, we're in love and, you know, and not just in love, but when we love our children, you know, our relationship with our parents, you know, if our hearts are in it, our hearts are in it. And this is a lot of times why when somebody does feel like their trust has been violated, then all kinds of, they can do all kinds of things, all kinds of things happen, you know, what they call it, temporary insanity. You know, because they have put their hearts in it. And we should put our hearts in our relationships. We should. However, we have to go back to, like you were saying, you know, before Minister Phyllis, it goes back to truly, truly trusting God. We should never trust anyone more than we trust God, because we have to understand that we are humans. We are flesh. And as flesh, we are going to let you down one day. Just because we're flesh. Like Kenny said before, it's not intentional sometimes, but we're human and we do human things. You know,
that's
and so
right.
eventually there's going to be an offense, there's, you know, something, there's going to be something. So does anyone have anything to say?
Yes, I do. This is Shannon. I think a lot of times the disappointments are the hardest when we have ignored the signs, because, you know, trusting is a choice. It's a choice. But it is a connection, you know, from the core, you know, from our heart. But our mind is choosing to trust. And many times, you know in certain relationships, you know, whether it's personal, romance, marriage, whatever, okay, the signs are there, and I need to pay attention to these signs, because like the minister that's on the phone, you know, when the trust is being violated, then, okay, well, Lord, why this happened to me? Many times we ask God for confirmation. Okay, God, give me a sign. Show me. He show you over and over and over again. But you choose to continue to go through that situation until it just blows up out of proportion. And a lot of times we just need to remove ourselves from it before it just gets too chaotic to get to the place of temporary insanity, because it does exist. You know, it's real. But to try to prevent getting to that point, you know, we have to be mindful of the situation at hand, God allowing the situation to go on, but also the signs are there. He's showing you many times what's going on with this particular relationship. But because our heart is so into it for whatever reason, whether it's a personal or a friendship or a marriage or whatnot, we're so connected to this particular individual that we just like, no, nah, I don't even want to, you know, let it go. And then it just blow up, you know. So we need to be mindful of those signs. And because to me, getting to the point of temporary insanity is just, it's not a good place. And I know that personally, it's just not a good place to be in. But in my situation, the signs were very there, clear on the wall, you know, just out. But I made a choice to ignore it and continue with, you know, that particular relationship. So that's my comment. So I completely agree with both of your comments.
Thank you. And I think a lot of us have done that in relationships, regardless of, you know, what type of relationship it is. Well, we have, you know, ignored the signs, like I said, when someone's showing you who they really are, and we've ignored the signs because, you know, we didn't want to see it. We didn't.
That's right.
You know, so I don't know. I guess because it just hurt too bad, or it's not, you know, it's just not what we wanted. And so then our hurt, when it finally, you know, hits home and you're hurt by that, you know, relationship, then you look back and then, you know, everything is just like, you know, that was why they did this. This is why that happened, or whatever. And it's, you know, and it's devastating. A lot of times, it's just devastating.
It is. Mm-hmm. And with that being devastating, y'all know, if you really look at it sometimes, Jeremiah, she's in here, if you really look at it sometimes, right, if we're not praying for God and seeking direction from God, there are times we can often mislead our own self into something that we don't need to be in. So, I mean, it gets to a point where we really can't even trust ourselves sometimes. And it just boils down to us trusting God, because, you know, the word says his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. We like, God, I know he'll change. It's kind of like, and ladies, don't get offended, please, when I say this. It's kind of like, just using an example, for a woman that she grew up as a little girl watching her mama be abused, right? And then she ends up getting into an abusive relationship. Right, and in an abusive relationship, she got friends and family telling her, "Girl, this man is not the man for you. You know, he putting his hands on you. Love shouldn't hurt." But you saying he gonna change. You tell him he gonna get better, right? But you know, it's like it's repetitive decision making, right? That's causing that could be utterly her demise. You know, he can kill her. Mm-hmm. You know,
right?
Yes,
so I mean, trust is major, even when it comes to you trusting yourself.
You're right. Say that too. We tell people that trust your instincts. You know, or, you know, trust yourself, because we do say that. And so that is, yeah, you put a new spin on that, baby. I didn't even think about us not trusting ourselves. But yeah, that's true. So it goes back to, you know, of course, us having to trust God above all things,
right?
Above everything, all things, and that's just, you know, what it goes back to. Now, for any listeners, for anybody that may be streaming right now, and they have a relationship, and when I say relationship, again, we're talking about, you know, any family relationship, even friends, you know, and right now they're dealing with a trust issue. We do know, like we said before, you know, like Shannon, you said, you know, to be the bigger person. Be the bigger person. You know, Minister Phyllis, you were saying communicate. You know, getting, you've given a lot of things, you know, on tonight. Trust again. Don't, you know, learn how to trust again. Do you all think there's anything else that we should add? If there's someone out there that's listening to the broadcast, or that's going to come back and listen to it, and they're trying to find, you know, they're looking for hope in trying to restore a broken relationship that was broken due to a betrayal of trust.
You know, some Pastor Angela, you know, speaking from experience, you know, because I went through something like that. And, you know, one of our biggest problems is that we see the signs, but we just have too much pride not to want to acknowledge it. And instead of us just, you know, doing what is right, we'd rather just remain in there and to make one another miserable. And that's not a good feeling, because what seems to have to start hating each other, and the least little thing that that person does, it get on your nerves instead of, you know, talking about it. But if God doesn't send you a sign, you know, telling you that this is not, you know, good for you, you know, the best thing to do is just swallow your pride and just go your separate ways.
Let it go if it's not good for you. Okay.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Anybody have anything else?
No, but I have a question for those that, you know, that are married and who has dealt with issues of a violation of trust, and they've made a decision, you know, to still, you know, remain married and kind of, I guess, start over instead of just, you know, separating completely. What suggestions, you know, do y'all have, you know, for people that's in that situation? And the reason why I ask, you know, I talk to a lot of people that are married, I guess because I'm a great listener or something, but God does send people, you know, to me for advice. And I'm not married. I haven't been married. I haven't been in a relationship for quite a long time. So, but I do feel like I do give good advice. But I do know there are a couple of people that are married, and they are dealing with, you know, the possible threat of getting a divorce. In these marriages, you know, I know that there's infidelity that's going on. You know, and so my question is for those that choose to, you know, kind of get over this hump or this phase or this period, this season of the marriage, you know, what do you suggest if they do choose to, you know, stay together if the trust has been, you know, violated?
Well, first of all, I want to say this. You are a great listener, friend. You are a great listener, and you give great advice, and you give it from your heart. So that's why people come to you. I just want to throw that out there. But as far as the advice that I would give, this is what I would say. First of all, we have to keep in mind that in order to repair anything that has he forgot to put a phone on mute again.
I'm sorry. I just hit my toe. I apologize.
Y'all, please excuse me. My husband is grilling right now. So he's going on the phone when we said that, so he's outside grilling. In order to repair, you know, a relationship, first of all, we have to keep in mind that there has to come a point where both parties are willing to
mm-hmm.
work, and both parties are willing to, you know, both parties want it. So that has to come
mm-hmm.
a point, you know, where
mm-hmm.
there's that. Then when the, you know, trust has been broken, forgiveness is one of the primary things that's needed. We have to learn, you know, we have to be at a place of saying, I forgive you. Because without forgiveness, you're not going to be able to move forward. So there has to be forgiveness. There, like, you know, Minister Phyllis said, there has to be communication. Because without communication, we have to understand a lot of times when it gets to a point in a marriage where someone you know, commits infidelity, especially if they were not already just, you know, sometimes you just have people that just cheat. That's just what they do. But
yeah.
in a relationship, you know, that hasn't been a pattern and something happens, then there's something that was already going on prior. And maybe they didn't talk about it. But there was something that, you know, there was that kind of built up to that a lot of times. So there has to be communication. What was going on? You know, what were you feeling? So everybody has to talk. Both parties have to be at a point where they are willing to talk about, you know, what they're feeling. And both parties have to be at a point where they're willing to listen.
Yeah.
To take the constructive criticism, you know, if, you know, like McKinney says to me, you know, you overtalked me and that makes me feel disrespected, you know, for me to listen, because when I was overtalking him, I wasn't trying to disrespect him. That's not how I was thinking. I'm thinking I'm getting my point across. But to him, I'm disrespecting him, you know. So we have to be at a point of listening and also at a point of being able to accept responsibility for our actions.
That's real.
Then, you know, after that, then we have to be at a place, you know, where if outside help is needed, you know, we have to get the outside help. And then we have to be at a place where we're willing to implement the needed changes. Because even with the listening and accepting responsibility, if we're not, you know, willing to implement the changes, if I'm not willing to say, okay, I'm going to really, really, really work hard on not interrupting him when I'm very upset, which I still do sometimes, but not like I used to. You know, I've come a long way. You know, if I'm not willing to get to that point where I'm going to say I'm going to work on that, then we're going to end up back in the same place.
That's right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So those are just some of the suggestions that I have. Do you all have anything else?
Pastor Cordula, you had brought out one thing that is very important in the relationship, and that, and when the infidelity has set in, is that you must forgive each other first and foremost. And then the second thing is that you must be willing to sit down and talk about it. And then once you say you have forgiven each other, you know, let the past be the past and don't bring it up, because if you keep bringing back up what the person did, that means that you still have that unforgiveness in your heart towards them.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And I also, that's right, Minister Phyllis, and that's not allowing, you know, everything to be restored.
That's
and
fine.
Something else, you know, we have to be patient. I think when something like that has occurred, that both parties have to be patient with each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Understand that, you know, if a spouse has stepped out on their marriage, that, you know, although there were problems in the home and everything, that's a big deal, you know. So for that other spouse that hasn't committed adultery, you know, that it may take a little time to really, you know, to be able to really just, you know, to deal with that. And so there may be some moments where he or she may have some little emotional outbursts or whatever, you know, as they are working towards, you know, forgiveness and repairing and everything. And so it just, I think it goes back to also, we have to learn how to be patient with each other, patient with ourselves, patient with each other. However, we have to keep moving forward. We cannot stay stagnant. And of course, we need God. Now, I know everybody's not saved, but I'm going to tell you, we need God, because he is the ultimate healer. He is the ultimate, you know, repairer and deliverer of everything. And so pray together, read your Bibles together, go to church together, find a true Bible-believing church together. You know, so, again, those are some of the things that I, you know, suggest. Kenny, did you have anything?
Hold on just a second. I got to get the TV. Well, I'm just grateful to God that, you know, the topic of trust came about tonight because, like I said before, callers, I have violated my wife's trust before. And in doing that, it took God's grace and mercy, you know, that he had imparted into her in order for her to forgive me. Not don't get me wrong, I didn't cheat on my wife, but I did violate her trust is what I'm trying to say. Right? But sometimes you know, if you really think about it, if you just really take time and think about it, trust. What does that entail? Trust means you got to yield to somebody else's will sometimes. Trust means you got to yield to the unknown. You know, you gotta pretty much open yourself up to be vulnerable to something that you have no clue about sometimes. And the main thing that we've done in that, right, is getting married. You know, there are things that you know you might not know about your mate, and then when you get together, you're like, wow, I wish I'd have known this before I married him or her. Then I would have did this, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have did that, mm-hmm. right? But mm-hmm. you still have to be able to trust that, even the way things look, you know, because faith even is considered a form of trust. You know, so you have faith in God. You're trusting God that, okay, God, it ain't looking right now, but I know you're going to fix it. So I'm trusting, Lord God, that you're going to fix it. And I'm trusting that what I'm praying to you about, you're going to fix it. And when it comes to relationship, like you said, honey, about, you know, either party stepping out on each other. If that person, he or she decides to stay, then, you know, again, they're opening themselves up to that person again, either to A, be hurt again, or to B, actually seeing change about in that person, which, you know, there are a lot of success stories that come about where you know, the wife or the husband has stepped out on one another and the husband or the wife decided to stay, and then God restored their marriage. But then there also are a lot of stories that are not so successful. So, trust, I mean, I love the topic tonight, honey. It's great. Great.
Thank you.
I don't want to keep talking because you know me. I get on my soapbox and then I just keep talking.
So, yes, it is taking a risk. And then even more so, you feel like you're doing it even more so, you know, I guess, when the trust has been violated and then, you know, if someone has stepped out, you know, on the relationship, you know, like you were saying, Shannon, and they go back into it and saying, okay, we want to work on this. And I can imagine that they may feel even more vulnerable. However, you know, like Kenny says, a lot of success stories. Sometimes, you know, after that one time, a lot of times, you know, the spouses don't ever have to worry about that again, because sometimes that's a true revelation. You know, it's like, wow, I came this close to giving up, you know, my family. And then it's like the negative that they were seeing before no longer outweighs positive. So sometimes when you're at a point where you're about to lose something that's valuable to you, you realize just how valuable, you know, that someone or something truly, truly is. So, you know, for anyone that's going through that, you know, where they are trying to repair a relationship after infidelity, I do pray that is definitely, you know, the outcome, that both parties realize how valuable they are to each other and anything else, because it doesn't have to be infidelity. It can be anything else, you know, that both parties realize how valuable they are to each other, and, you know, just allow the positive things to reign over the negative things. Well, this has been a great topic. Does anyone have any closing remarks before we get ready to close out on tonight?
Yes, I actually do.
Go ahead, Minister Phyllis.
I was just saying I really enjoyed the topic on tonight. You know, it was an eye-open, you know, to a lot of things, you know, and I thank God for you all on tonight.
Well, thank you.
Glory
and thank
God.
You for joining us. Thank you so much. Go ahead, baby.
Enjoy. Well, my closing remark is I trust that, you know, the listeners, whether they're on the internet or they're actually on the line, I'm trusting that, you know, next Tuesday they'll return back. And then, you know, I'm also trusting that God is going to bring another power-packed topic, just as he did on tonight.
Amen. Shannon, did you have anything?
Amen. No, I don't have anything, but just thank you for discussing this topic. I think it is very important.
It is, and thank you all for your thank you all for, you know, taking time out on your Friday night and listening in with us and, you know, joining in on the conversation. And we truly, truly do appreciate it. And we will be back here on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Please find us on Facebook, Family Matters with Kenny, K-E-N-N-Y, and Kwajalein, K-W-A-J-A-L-E-I-N. Again, that's K-W-A-J-A. L-E-I-N. Thank you all, and everyone have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Love you guys.
Thank you all.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.